Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church here on this brisk but nice November morning. As we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, let's silence any of our cell phones or other distractions and listen to Arlen's Prelude.
Thank you.
Thank you, Arlen. We have some announcements today, and those can be found on the orange sheet in your bulletin. Today, our own Paul Halleck will be filling the pulpit and bringing the message. Following worship today, we do have a called special congregational meeting. We'll hold it here in the sanctuary, and the agenda for that meeting is to vote on the board's recommendation to call an interim minister. So the search committee has found an interim minister candidate, has presented that candidate to the board. They recommended that candidate be called, and the board then voted on that and is recommending to the congregation that we vote to call that minister as well. So more information on that, details about that candidate and things will be presented then, but it will be right after following service today. We are looking for a property commission chair. We really need someone or someones to partner up and come together to serve this to lead this commission. It doesn't mean that you have to do everything that the commission needs to do, but it does. But we need some leadership in that. And currently, we've just defaulted to Kathy, and Kathy is done. Please, if you can't do it for church, do it for Kathy. Poor Kathy. So, no, please, if you feel a little bit of calling on that, reach out to Mike Ward and talk to him about that, and he'll give you some encouragement to do it. So, and also give you some pointers in how to find support in doing it as well. Amber has an announcement.
So next week, you all know that is our church Thanksgiving dinner. So there's still slots to fill up for food, and we would ask you that you put the number of people coming in your family, your party, so that we know how much to cook for and how much to set up for. So we'd appreciate that. And also right after Thanksgiving dinner, of course, we need to clean up, but we also need to decorate the church for Advent. So we can only decorate for as much as we have people to decorate with. So if you would stay and help us do that, the worship commission will have everything set out, ready to go, and all we have to do is decorate. So thanks.
Can I pick you up on that?
Yeah.
We need someone to cook a turkey, two someones to cook turkeys. If you
would
have any inkling to please do that, let me know, and we'll get you on the sheet. Thank you.
Thanks, Belle. Debbie Mestis has an announcement, and we're going to do a drawing for the blankets that they've been raffling off. Blake, you going to draw? Sweet. Here you go, Debbie.
We'd also like to have Keith Rouse come forward, since he's a recipient of all the funds that we've raised. Do you want to hold up the first blanket? The first ticket drawn gets a choice of each blanket, or which blanket they want, and the second one will get the one that's left.
You read it.
Ted Grooms.
Ted Grooms? Your choice.
World soccer or America? World soccer.
Thank you so much.
Okay. It's all right. If we draw them again, we'll throw them out.
Mark Williams. All right. Is he here?
We'll make sure he gets it.
Okay. Thank you all to everybody who did it. This is for Keith. We were we raised $122. It'll help Keith go to Puerto Rico. We're so excited you get to go.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Blake.
Thanks, Debbie. Are there any other announcements today? All right, hearing none, well, let's stand and greet one another in a moment of Christian fellowship, and then we'll come back together and sing hymn number 272, The Church is One Foundation. Sure, that's your problem now.
Who won the set?
Mark Williams.
Okay, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, too.
Hey, you morning. Did an amazing job up there. That was like, it's groovy.
Oh, yeah.
So how's everything going?
That's good. It's good. I got pretty lovely, crazy charges.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, it is.
It's probably
mine. Good.
We might be able to do a charging Christmas party for someone.
I know, right? Right, we could do that too. That could be our thing.
We could do like a January, yay, we survived the whole Christmas party.
I think so. It's kind of fun that we're all just so busy.
So, what's the difference?
With good stuff, you know.
Christmas
party.
Yeah, that's the party.
Right. And then we're gone for on the 15th, and so no big deal. And then, of course, one of those, then like the 8th, she works, so no big deal. Right. Yeah, it could be fun. That could be a fun tradition too. To do for us. Yes. Right. Exactly. No, that'd be fun. I like hanging out with Tyler. I like hanging out with Tyler. Please join me in the call to worship. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
We give you praise and thanks for blessing us with your presence in our lives.
Empower us, Lord, to be emissaries, ambassadors, and disciples of your word and truth. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy God, we gather to sing your praise and hear your word. Speak to us now that we may be wise enough to perceive your call. Strengthen us now that we may be brave enough to answer when you call. Guide us now that we may follow where you would have us go. Hear us today as we pray together as your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. Our hymn of praise this morning can be found in the Purple Praise Book, number 50, Majesty. Children could come forward for our time of children's worship.
Hi, guys. Okay, let's see here. We have a basket for me to look in. So, Amelia, have you got a surprise for me in that basket?
More or less.
Let me look and see. Whoops. Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
Hair tie. Oh, a hair tie. A hair tie, it keeps our hair in place, doesn't it? And if you are in a household with little girls, you have 10,000 of these around your house. I have them in every pocket I have at my house right now because we just keep them on hand. But hair ties work for lots of other things, don't they? Do you ever use them for anything else besides tying your hair, Amelia?
Well, whenever my t-shirt's too big, I usually like tie it up with it.
Okay. Tie your hair tie up. You know, one thing this means, though, is that ties keep things together. And do you know another type of tie? Because this is one of my favorite hymns. Is blessed be the tie that binds. And our tie that keeps us all together is our belief in Jesus Christ and in his teachings. And that keeps us all together. Just like these hair ties keep these ponies in place, and we can always have them. We will never run out of hair ties, and we will never run out of our tie with Jesus Christ. Thank you for bringing this. That was a challenge. Okay, shall we say a little prayer? Dear God, thank you for the tie that binds us together in Christian love. We ask that you watch over us this week. Amen. Who's going to take the basket? Oh, okay. Althea's not had it yet. Okay, Althea, we'll see you next week.
As we head into our time of prayer concerns this morning, we'd like to acknowledge that the beautiful flowers up front, up here, are from Wanda Hall's service yesterday. So our prayers go out to Wanda's family. Our card shower this morning is for Bev Mattson. Kathy sent me a note, wants me to assure you all that everything's good with Bev. We're just sending her some cards to say that her church family misses her and loves her. So a little change from what we've had running here lately. So good. It'll be nice for Bev and also good for us to send some prayers of joy. We have our noted prayer concerns there on the back of the bulletin. But are there other prayers that we want to lift up today from the congregation? Keith?
Just a joy to thank every congregation for their donations and their support for this mission trip to Puerto Rico. Definitely stepped me out of my comfort zone to go there, but it seems like God's called me to do mission work. And Pastor Cynthia has sent something to the National Church that they've come up with some places that potential mission trips after I get my degree. So prayers for discernment for that as well.
Perfect.
Darling.
Family. Right, prayers for Joey, the boy that's missing. Debbie. Prayers for Chris, who was hit by a drunk driver. Yeah. Exactly.
Back here.
Yep.
Prayers for my leg. About 2 weeks ago, something happened in it, and I don't know what it was, but it doesn't function properly anymore, and I have a limp, and I can't put a lot of pressure on it. And it's really affected my work schedule at the moment. I can't really work as much anymore, and so I have a doctor's appointment on Wednesday with an orthopedic to figure out what's going on, and hopefully we can find a solution to get me back to work here soon.
Maggie and I ask for some prayers. Little Mackenzie's getting her tonsils out on Tuesday. So, I mean, I just watched her jump off the ottoman into the beanbags last night, so she's not afraid. But so maybe prayers for Maggie and I on that deal, but just we'd appreciate that. Any others? Trisha. Prayers for a one-year-old that was life-flighted last night down to Denver. Carmen.
Another life flight to Denver. My dental hygienist had her baby was premature, and she needs to get.
Prayers for a premature baby. Yeah, Cindy. Prayers for Billy Mosseller and Linda Mosseller, for sure. And how about prayers of joy for our special congregational meeting agenda after worship today? So we continue to lift up the search committee as they hit a nice milestone there, but at the same time, I know a lot of work and everything is ahead of them. With that, let's take all these prayers mentioned and those that are still remaining in our hearts and minds to the Lord in a moment of shared silent prayer. Lord, we call out to you in prayer this morning. Call out from our mouths and call out from our hearts. Lord, we ask that you hear all of our prayers, both spoken and unspoken. Lord, for those that are sick or dealing with medical issues, we pray for healing. For those that are lonely, we pray for comfort. Those that are struggling, we pray for hope. And those in turmoil, we pray for peace. Lord, we need you. Amen. Here at First Christian Church, all followers of Christ are invited to the communion table. We invite you to partake of the bread and cup as the diaconates pass them to you, and then go ahead and serve the person next to you. One of today's scripture readings had me thinking that most of us never really get to figure out how salaries are set in this world. Maybe in our small little circle, or maybe if we own a business, or maybe if we work in a school district with this complex matrix as you work your way down the matrix. But we never really get to see how those things get set. And sometimes because of that, we have a mistaken view of the process. A lot of times we think if we kind of put people in different pigeonholes, and we like say to ourselves that the reason doctors make so much more than others is that medical school is so much more complicated and harder than the training that other people have had. But that thought process breaks down fairly quickly. It would imply, for example, that the reason that rock stars make so much more money than doctors is that rock star school is so much more complicated and harder than medical school. Sometimes when people are figuring out salary, one of the most common methods is to subtly inquire of the applicant, how much money are you expecting? And if it falls within what you think is reasonable, everybody gets paid enough. We just celebrated Veterans Day, and there's also the military method of salaries. If you don't like the salary, don't join. Baseball players find a different method. The question never is, how much will it take to get them to play baseball? But how much will it take to get them to play for your team? The concept of worth in man's way of doing things is extrinsic. We are worth what someone else will pay us, and that's just how the world does it. But what about God's way? Are human beings indeed worthy in God's eyes? The answer is obviously yes, but it's not like you would expect. The psalmist David put it this way, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and the infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So we see here that we're, as man, a little lower than angels and a little higher than fish. The key point, though, is that our worth is God-given. It doesn't depend on what other people think. We have intrinsic worth. But see, our worth is given to us because of the majesty of the name of God. We didn't earn it. And God gave to us for the sake of his name. The church does all things to glory God. Nowhere is this seen more clearly than the cross. Jesus did not come to die on the cross because we are so worthy. His sacrifice, like our worth, springs from God. Our worth has nothing to do with it. It's entirely due to the fact that God is love. It's out of God's love for his children that we have the cross. As we partake in communion this morning, remember the motives of Christ. He did this for you because of his great love for you. As Christians, we are to be imitators of Christ so that others might see his great love in us. Let us all examine ourselves and see that love flows through us. Do this in remembrance of him. Our hymn of communion this morning is number 384, Here at the Table, Lord. As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and, having given thanks, said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
Almighty God, we give thanks for daily bread and for this bread of the Spirit that we share together in these moments of communion. We remember Jesus, our Savior, who died on the cross, and we ask that your Spirit may guide us as we pray. Help us, O God, in the rededication of our lives to your service and our witness in the daily living throughout the coming week. Amen.
Debbie's gonna come forward and give us a moment for mission.
Okay, thank you. Thanksgiving offering can work miracles. Austin graduated from Chapman University in May of 2017. All graduations are causes for celebration, but this one was particularly special. Austin's parents fell on hard times early in his Chapman career, and they were soon homeless. His mother started a new business, and Austin worked tirelessly alongside her on evenings and weekends to help her succeed. The family lived where they worked and shared a bathroom with no shower with the other businesses next door. One year, Austin got free room and board by serving as a resident advisor at a dorm. Austin was often exhausted, but he was never defeated. His positive spirit kept him focused on school and serving his family. Because of your generous Thanksgiving offerings, the Office of Church Relations was able to help him with extra tuition support. This fall, Austin starts a new adventure. He was accepted into the Fowler School of Law at Chapman with a full tuition scholarship. Your Thanksgiving dollars work miracles.
Thank you, Debbie. Whom should God send? And who will go for God's people? Here we are, and God's counting on us. So let us share our gifts and our offerings in answer to God's call. The diaconate will now receive our tithes and offerings. Please pray with me. Lord, increase the strength of these gifts and the strength of our ministries. Expand the nets of our love that we may reach deeply and share abundantly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading from the Word of God today can be found in your pew Bibles in the Old Testament on page 492. It's Psalm 8. It's the psalm that I shared earlier in the communion meditation. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Mm-hmm. Nick, the way I look at it, we could probably hear Psalm 8 about 5 or 6 times a day. It's a great one. I want to share with you from the New Testament the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. I don't know what page it is in your Bible. It's page 62 in mine, New Testament, verses 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw 2 boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, go away, for I'm a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Good morning to you. It is a good morning, indeed beautiful. Snowing yesterday and warming up a little bit today. Thank you for the opportunity to share this morning as we consider God's encouraging church, moving forward, helping others, in true thanksgiving, which coming up pretty soon. Last week I was having coffee with several teachers up at the college. You know, I worked there 33 years, so I know a lot of them. Lots of conversation about T-Bird basketball, new classes being offered this upcoming semester, the upcoming concerts and theater productions, etc. And afterwards, one of the teachers grabbed me, a person I didn't know as well, and asked, "Strange question. Don't you go to First Christian Church Academia asking that question?" "Yes, I do," I said. "Why?" "You go to the encouraging church, don't you?" "Well, I hope so. Why do you ask?" "I just wanted to take a minute to let you know how your church has touched my life." "Please do," I said. "Well," he said, "I help out once in a while at King's Corner. And every Saturday morning, your sandwich ministry comes to the corner and brings about 150 sandwiches, chips, cookies to feed the hungry and gather there for food. They meet and greet the hungry people and visit with them, and some of them actually know them by name, making their Saturdays a whole lot better." "Thank you," I said. "And a couple of years ago," he continued, "when I took my wife to hospice before she passed, one of those sandwich ministry ladies met us at the door of hospice to help us and was there nearly every time I visited my wife before she passed. He rang my bell." I said, "Debbie Mestis, right?" He said, "Yes, I think that was her name. She was very encouraging and helpful to us." "That is wonderful. I wanted to pass it on to Debbie." "Wait," he said, "one more thing. my daughter brings now her third child to attend your preschool, and my family just loves that wonderful school and the teachers and all the activities. So thank you for being so encouraging. I even get to take my granddaughter once in a while to the school. It's fun. She looks forward to getting there. So thank you and your encouraging church for helping in these ways. You're welcome. Thanks for telling me. By the way, where do you go to church? I better ask that question, right? By the way, where do you go to church? St. Anthony's, and I'm happy there too. Well, thanks again for sharing. Encouraging church. Isn't that what we are called to be? Here in our 98th year of life, having moved over 50 years ago from Grant and Lynn Street near Grant Street Grocery, some of you may have known me when I was the grocery boy and delivered groceries there. We moved from there to CY Avenue, between Buster's and NCHS location, because as we'd been told, it's a lot busier spot and will attract more people. And there continue to be, though, so many people who are hungry, even starving to be encouraged, and yes, beyond food, to address a spiritual hunger as well. In many ways, it takes courage to be an encourager, doesn't it? I mean, aren't there times when you'd rather keep your mouth shut than to encourage someone? What is the source of the encouragement? Well, let's take a minute and go back to the passage in Luke again. Peter and James and John fished and fished in their two boats, but had no luck until Jesus came. And he told them to go back out into the lake to fish some more. And before long, both boats were filled to overflowing with fish, and they were amazed. The Greek word is thaumazo. Overwhelmed and amazed. And after they returned to the shore and spent some time with Jesus, he challenged them. He encouraged them to follow him and that they would now be fishing for and catching real people for God, bringing them into our loving God's everlasting arms. And they did so and were so loved themselves. The source of the encouragement? First, Jesus knew and taught them about the eternal abiding love of God that Nick talked about. From the book of John, we read and know that God is love, eternal love, even sacrificial love. From John 3:16, you all know the passage. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. What a passage. God is love. And he loved us so much that he was willing to give up his only son, his only child, to death for us. Yes, God does love us. This great creator of all things in our world, God loves us each and every one. And boy, there are a lot of people in my neighborhood, perhaps yours, and in our communities that need and want to be loved that way. And secondly, they hunger for hope and purpose too. They're empty and are seeking ways to make life more meaningful to them and to others as well. But they're having a difficult time finding hope on TV. In the newspapers, on their phones, and in the magic stuff they may be puffing. As Christians, we need to encourage as we are able with God's help. Jesus says in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus meant what he said. If we believe in him and trust him and acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, we will live forever. Friday, our church hosted a wonderful service of remembrance and celebration for the life of Wanda Hall. Thank you, Nick, for mentioning the flowers that were here. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. Lots of candles were up, and with the great music and the heartfelt testimony for the life Wanda lived. The service was filled with hope and promise, and even some humor. Son Randy and wife Michelle knew that Wanda had gone to heaven. They knew that. She'd been wanting to go for a while, as she had lots of pain and was anxious to see her husband Boyd. Hope and confidence in the source of that hope, our Almighty God, was everywhere evident. Just to be part of that congregation was a wonderful experience, a true celebration of life and hope. And thirdly, we gather our courage to encourage others from the presence of God's Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is with us as we take communion to the sick and the elderly, as we baptize those who choose to follow Christ and to be part of his body, the church, as we sew fleece blankets and give them to the cold and needy, as we teach our Sunday school classes in our community groups, and as we enjoy our own times of fellowship downstairs during a good warm meal. Lately, we've been doing a lot of that. Yes, the Holy Spirit is with us then, too, as we share the joy of being together as one. On each of these occasions, Jesus asks us also to fish for those who are hungry, lonely, separated, anxious, and who do not know God, and to share the good news of God's great love, Christ's eternal hope, and the joy of true Christian community, and to effectively encourage them to seek our loving God. In conclusion, I'd like to share briefly with you two personal experiences of mine this week. First of all, this very day and at this very hour, our youngest granddaughter, Grace, age 9, is being baptized in the church service at Cedar Home Church in Stanwood, Washington, by her father, our son, Reverend Dan Halleck. And is she ever excited? We talked last night, she was just so elated. So please keep Grace in your prayers. I mean, right now, it's happening. Secondly, 1 year ago this past Tuesday, son Mark and his wife Jenna took our grandson Eli, 13, to Rocky Mountain Hospital for Children in Denver at about midnight, as they sensed he had become seriously ill. Within 2 days, it was determined that Eli had cancer, Burkitt's lymphoma, a very serious cancer indeed. For 3 months, the parents and our family looked potential death square in the eye. And I'm not kidding. We looked it square in the eye. And Eli kept on keeping on. The various forms of chemo he received were very difficult for him to endure. And some of you have had chemo, you understand. But his mother, Jenna, who was there almost 24 hours a day, kept on encouraging him. And believe me, we were so joyous that after 3 months, he was able to survive and go home, returning 3 times a week to be checked and continuing to try to catch up on his school absence. 3 months, it's a long time. But his teachers encouraged him and had him do his homework online. And Eli did it diligently and finally caught up and went on with his class to the next grade. To this day, 370 days later, he is in remission, going to school regularly, and just this last week made the starting guard on the 8th grade basketball team at school, which he's thrilled about, so is Grandpa. We want to thank you, though, for your prayers and cards during this difficult time. Your encouragement truly provided courage and stamina and terrific support for us all. God bless you. Yes, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. If there is anyone here today who would like to come forward to affirm your faith in Christ and to join with us here at First Christian, we would welcome you to come as we sing our closing hymn, number 25, Praise to the Lord, verses 1 and 5. Also, please note that immediately following the hymn, Dan Cooley, our Congregational Board Chairman, will be coming forward to begin the special congregational meeting regarding an interim minister. Will you please stand as we sing?
If you're staying for the congregational meeting, go ahead and get seated. If you're not, we have a great week. If your children are down in Sunday school right now, Jennifer Grooms is staying with them. So if you want to just stay here for right now, that's great too. If we need a tiebreaker, we'll call her right up.